Blog Talk Radio.
Everything we do at White Apple Institute, which is our sponsor, is voluntary. And so no one gets paid for doing this work. And so whenever we get some reinforcement from people writing us back or talking to us, it's really wonderful. Well, our switchboard is lighting up, and let's just see who's joining us this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here we are. I think you're on air. Here you are. You're on air. Good morning.
Hi, this is
Can you hear me okay? You're at 238.
This is Penny.
Good morning. Penny? Where do you live, Penny? What
Mesa,
area?
Arizona. Mesa, Arizona.
Mesa, Arizona. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. We have a lot of Arizona callers because we're headquartered here in Arizona. But we, our radio show goes on globally, and so we have people calling in from all over the world, which is really great. And so I want you to stay tuned because I want you to share any comments that you have on what I'm going to speak about as you have time to this morning. Okay?
Okay.
I'm right back to you. Thank you for calling in, Penny. Staying with Professor
Bye.
Applewhite. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
This is this must be 824.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah,
good morning.
This is Tom Baker. How are you doing, Vice President?
Baker, it's
Applewhite.
So good to see you. I hope all of our listeners remember your great voice. Go ahead.
I've been sidelined in the hospital with sores.
Yeah, that's what I was going to just share with them. And it's wonderful that you're open enough to talk about the pressure sores that happen to people with spinal cord injury, because that's something that really does hinder people from doing certain things. So thank you for being so upfront about it. We sure have missed you on the show. And I'm sure all of our listeners, I know the listeners from India, from the orphanage in India that listen to us quite frequently, I know that they miss you because they really like to hear you on the show. So thank you for joining us.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't questioning that. I didn't even...
You have great comments.
I wasn't even that aware of it.
Yes. You're a valuable part of the work that's being done at White Apple Institute, Tom Baker, and we appreciate you. And we appreciate you promoting the show for us. So get well. Get well. Okay? Well. You know? And we look forward to you joining us in the future again. So let me go ahead right into the show here and tell you what we're talking about this morning, listeners out there. We're over 12,000 listeners now, which is just wonderful. I mean, praise God for all of you that feel comfortable with listening to the show. Even though you don't come online live air on Saturday morning, we see the numbers. And, you know, it's just wonderful. Even if it's 132 listeners like last week, it's still great that there are 132 people listening to one show. the 12,000 listeners have been listening pretty consistently, and that's how we know how many people are out there that are interested in the work we're doing. So part of the work that we're doing, listeners out there, is that we're talking about, this is the segment 3 of 4, because we had to, due to technical difficulties, re-record this segment of when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And as I said, this is part 3 of 4, and we're talking about R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect, respecting yourself. Okay, that's our focus today, that the teacher within us will help us to understand better how to respect ourselves. This is an exciting episode with a special invitation that went out to teachers who wish to share how they develop self-respect. I am with the staff, and we're here to prove that it comes as no surprise that what teachers feel about their own self-respect, get this part, what you feel as teachers out there, and I'm talking about teachers and every, remember, we're all teachers, okay, not just the academic teachers, but how teachers feel about their own self-respect is the way they teach their students to develop their self-respect. So what we model, what we show, and even as parents being teachers, okay, you see, we're all teachers. And we develop effective human relations with others. You know, I mean, effective human relations, I just saw an example of it the other day, and maybe our listeners and our people live on air will have a comment on that, is that I saw someone with total disrespect just pick up their cell phone in the middle of a conversation and start talking without even saying, excuse me. So I didn't even know that they were, I thought they were talking to me, and they were on the Bluetooth. And it was very disturbing to me because I'm talking to them and they're actually talking to somebody else without even letting me acknowledge that they were on the phone with someone and saying, excuse me, I'll be right with you. So that kind of respect, not only for yourself but for others with you, is how we develop effective relations with others, human relations. And that's how we keep jobs. And that's how we stay in favor with our professors at college or our instructors at skill centers, is by having good human relations. So we're going to talk about that a little while down the road. We're also going to focus on teachers as lifelong learners. If you acknowledge yourself as a teacher, and you're a teacher, if you've shown anybody or helped anybody learn something, you are a teacher. And you're a lifelong learner, and you understand the importance of teaching that attitude. Hello. Attitude is everything. I never quite understood that until later on in life. How could attitude be everything? But we're going to focus on that a little bit. However, no one is perfect. No one is perfect or without personal or professional challenges.
Well, so I was going to make a comment here.
Yeah, hold on just a second. Let me just finish the description of the show, and I'll come right back to you. Thank you so much. So we're talking about at home or on the job. Most teachers, administrators, or whatever, or related professionals serving in the field of education understand that they are also students with internal teachers, always appearing when needed to adjust their attitude, their self-respect, and their interpersonal skills. And that's what we're going to focus on today. And you had a comment, so let's hear your comment.
Well, I was going to say that I read that people who do well in life are not usually the people with the highest IQs in the traditional sense of how well you do in a regular academic setting up through high school. I mean, that's what your IQ measures is theoretically how well you're going to do in school through high school and college and stuff. But it's the people that measure high on the social skills, on being able to sense when someone's talking to you and they're either interested or they're not interested, or you're standing too close or you're not standing too close, or that are interested in what you're trying to say, or people who know how to avoid controversy, and then there's the people who seek it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really how good you are at social skills,
mm-hmm,
is they say, an even better indicator of how you'll do in the work world and in life than how well you, how, I guess, smart you are in the traditional sense.
That's right. And that's a very, very important part. I thank you for sharing that, because it is important that the social skills you talk about, that, you know, that's the same as human relations, but that's very important, and that is a good indicator of how successful a person will be, because it could be a janitor or a waitress, and if you have good human relations or social skills with other people, you'd be surprised at how successful you will not only be, but you will feel every day when you go to work, no matter what work you do.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's okay. Whatever noise is in the background there, we've overcome that, and we'll just go on with the show now. And so thank you so much for bringing that out. And one of the things that I'd like to go back to, maybe have some comment on that, is that as we show others good social skills, or we possess those social skills, we also have to possess some self-respect. Some respect for ourselves. And I just wanted to share, to open up this conversation on respect, what the Webster Dictionary calls respect. And that's a quality or state of being esteemed or important. It's about having special regard or particular attention to another person or to yourself, and the quality that you place on who you're regarding or you have concern for. So do you, listeners out there, and those on air right now, that also I need to open up the chat line, because I know there's a lot of people that don't want to speak live on air and they like to just chat with us, so I will open that up in just a moment. But I'd like to know how you feel about respecting yourself, and do you really focus on that? If you have any comments,
I think respect is recognizing the, we all have different value systems. For me, I believe in a divine creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that as such, you know, we have a touch of the divine within all of us. You know, we have been touched by it. And that makes, you know, all of us have a special talent, a special contribution that we can make to society. And it
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter whether those contributions are intellectual or, menial, you know, what other people would consider to be manual labor, whatever it might be. We still have talent. We still have a gift that we can offer to society as a whole. But I believe it begins with recognizing that spark of divinity within all of us. And I saw a bumper sticker once that was very succinct. It said, "God don't make junk."
Right. Oh, that just fits right into what we're saying. If we can encourage more people to understand that they are not junk, Penny, thank you so much. And by the way, listeners, I want you to know that Penny has been an instrumental part in not only encouraging my life and supporting what White Apple Institute has done. She is actually has served as an international consultant for the Vanderbilt University, and we're proud to have her here. She has a strong history on cultural diversity, and so we want to have her back sometimes to talk about the multicultural aspect of healing ourselves and not letting that label of disability stop us. So we hope, Penny, that we could get an interview out of you in the future.
I'd be pleased.
Go ahead.
I
is that right?
I think
can we get an interview
great.
Out of you later? Okay.
Yes, I would love that.
we'll schedule that for us. And thank you for your comment, because it means a lot to us that you understand respect. A lot of people don't understand what respect really means, and that you have to have self-respect before you can respect anybody else.
Exactly.
You know,
I do think it's something that can be learned. You know, we, as you were saying, that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So
yes.
We can learn by observing other people, especially finding someone that, in our lives that we admire and we want to emulate. I remember years ago working with a gentleman who was both a PhD and a lawyer, and one of the most intelligent people I've ever been around, and also one of the most positive. I asked him one time, because every single day that he came into the office, he was just a happy fellow. And I asked him once, I said, "Are you always so happy, Kent?" And he paused for a moment as if really considering my question, and he said, "No, but I can always talk myself into it." And I thought, what a great attitude. What a great attitude. And I resolved on that very day to be like him, or to try.
Yes. And, you know, my choice is to believe that I do have a choice. And so when I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about the show even and the topic, because I do that throughout the week, and do I respect myself? You see, I run this stuff through me also, and I look at myself. And I can tell you, there are mornings that I get up, especially because I suffer from chronic pain, and that chronic pain interrupts my life sometimes. And I have, but I recognize that I have a choice to override it if I wish, okay? And so that's what I do. I make a choice, just like he does, to turn it around. And I have for that. So I'm really happy to hear you say that and to share that story. That's very encouraging. I know that for a lot of listeners out there. What's that last part again? It says, if you can mute your phone from one of the listeners out there, I know you're listening. You need to mute your phone that we don't get the background in there. So
let me go off. Should I go off the air?
Hello?
Yeah.
We're having a lot of bad...
Tom.
Okay. All right. I don't know what listener that is out there, but if you could just mute your phone so that we don't get a lot of background noise. Thank you so much for joining the show. But we want to make sure that all of our listeners are able to hear the show effectively. So, Penny, you were making a comment. That last part of the comment I wanted to just reiterate, which was, he said something about he can turn it around.
Right. His attitude was always so positive, so always upbeat. He actually was one of those people that made you look forward to the day whenever he came to work. He was one of my bosses, but he always made me feel appreciated. And I know that because I didn't dread getting up in the morning and going to work, part of that reason was that I did feel appreciated. So I recognized from my interaction with him and watching his interaction with other people that it all boiled down to respect and attitude. Just as you were saying, if we have a great attitude and respect for ourselves and it just extends to respect to others as well, that we're going to be able to overcome things or find the silver lining in the cloud as life happens. It does. We you know, have to endure some pretty painful things throughout life, both emotional, physical, and mental. And it's just it's a grand thing if we can remember that we're special. Every last one of us have gifts. Every last one of us have choices. And it's what we do with those gifts and what we do with those choices that makes our lives ordinary or extraordinary.
Wow. And, you know, what was really important to me that you said was that we really do have a choice, but I went back for a moment in what you said earlier about the divinity and respecting the divine within us. We have another caller, so just hold on, please, and we'll have that caller online in one moment. Caller, are you on air?
Yes, I will.
Okay, there you are. Hold on one moment. I'm getting the signal. You're on air, caller. Hi, this is
Maria.
Hello, Maria. Always a pleasure to have you return to the show and share your comments. So thank you so much, and feel free to jump in at any time and discuss how you feel about any particular thing. So we appreciate you being there to listen for us and support our show. You're a very, very important part of White Apple Institute, and we love you for that. We were just speaking
now.
Pardon me?
I just said hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you doing?
That's Penny. She was a very important part of White Apple Institute, and it's so nice to have both of you on the line this morning here in Arizona, and we're hoping that some of our international callers will call in, or those in different parts of the United States this morning, call in to 1-646-727-3758 and join us in our discussion. Now, I just wanted to go back for a moment on something that Penny had said and brought to our attention, that self-respect is important. We have to respect ourselves before we respect anybody else. But before we even respect ourselves, there's another entity that we need to respect, and that is the divine, the God within us, okay? And we must respect when we turn over in the morning, when we go to bed at night, we must respect that divine purpose inside of us makes our heart pump and our blood circulate. And so that's something to respect, and as the dictionary brought out for us, to hold in high esteem, to concentrate on. What do you think about that?
I think it boils down to a lot of an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude for life, gratitude for teachers, gratitude for talents, gratitude for food, shelter, the simple things, family, friends. These are all gifts that are valued in every culture.
Yes.
And it's something that it's a part of who we are. You know, these things make up who we are and who we become. But
mm-hmm.
it's our choice to pick and choose the things that we find most important to us.
Right.
But
I think
gratitude is simply an extension of respect.
Yes, absolutely. Gratitude is. And, you know, that reminds me of how many people that are truly, truly disadvantaged as far as hungry in this world, and waking up without a bed, without a refrigerator, without the necessary things in life to keep us going. And when I think about the basic things, and I look at their attitude sometimes, and I know you can validate this with your international experience, their attitude is so wonderful that, you know, it's hard to even express to understand the gratitude they have for living. When they wake up without even a bed, and they still give gratitude to God. You know, they go to school with maybe not even a pencil or a sawed-off pencil and a piece of paper, and they're still smiling and giving gratitude to God. That is just amazing to me. And the self-respect they show for themselves and respect for others, it's just amazing. Hold on before you comment. Let me get this other caller on the line, and we'll see what this caller has to say. Hi, this is Professor Applewhite. Caller, it's a 363 number.
Oh, yes. This is Professor Consuelo Astete. Good morning to everyone.
Professor Astete, Consuelo Astete, it's such a pleasure for you to join us again. Thank you so much for supporting our efforts. I know
Likewise.
You have some wonderful things to say about this. But we are talking again about when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But we're talking about when the teacher appears to show us respect for ourselves and respect for the God within us. And Penny was making that comment. Penny, I think you already know Professor Asete.
I do. Hi, Consuelo. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Hello, how are you?
Well, here we go with this respect and this gratitude. Thank you for bringing up that word, because that is an important word that should have been in the writing, the description, because we have to have gratitude. And we lose that a lot, especially in America. We have very little gratitude for the luxurious life that we live. And I know that Professor Asete has been an international traveler also. He has been places where children are going to school with very little to learn with, and they still have a smile on their face, and they're happy to be there. And even adults that are going to school. I mean, I can't, it's just amazing to me how they can smile when they only have one piece of paper or one notebook or not even a book. And here we are in the United States with all this luxury, and we don't find a place to be grateful for what we have. We don't find a place to respect ourselves and respect others. How does that happen across the world? Professor Asete, you have a comment on that?
Well, it's very obvious, you know, in a society where it is relatively easy to acquire the basic needs, you take it for granted. And this is what
yes.
the youth, I find this is what the youth's attitude is in the United States. They just don't know what it is not to have their basic needs met in such a way that in other countries, especially in education, people want to learn, and they are very thankful for anything that can be provided to them in the way of an education.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, they don't have very many books. They don't have the means to acquire the
resources.
Necessary things to learn, like here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they still want to learn more, and they keep registering in courses all the time because they want to know more.
And you know, that's one of the things. We have a couple of callers still calling, and please don't stop. We appreciate you attempting to call. I know you must be having some technical difficulties calling in, but just keep trying to dial in at 1-646-3758. Appreciate our live callers this morning. And I just wanted to ask you a question when we talk about respect and gratitude and how this, when the student is ready inside, the teacher appears. And this seems to happen in the worst situations. People can be in earthquakes and be in a wheelchair trying to get out of a building. And for some reason, the teacher inside of them appears and teaches them how to control their emotions, survive, you know. And it's just amazing to me how many people can come through the journey of life with suffering and pain and still have a smile on their face and still have respect for themselves. And I wanted to ask you, Professor Asete, when you travel yourself, is there a particular country that you could help us focus on that school children or college students are having a challenge with resources and they keep going?
That's right. That's right.
What country could we focus
well,
on this morning
I
that we could share?
South America, Peru and Ecuador.
Ecuador,
because
okay.
I put those two countries together because they are very similar. And, of course, you know, one of the obvious things is that the students, they want to learn more and more because that is about the only way that they can get to earn a little more money, by knowing more, by their students that go all the way to their PhD, just to, so that, you know, the incentive, of course, is having the knowledge, but the incentive is also that they would be making a little more money. And so because money is, and so that's, and over here it doesn't happen so, because it, a lot of young people, even I imagine, young people that drop out of high school, they, you know, they're smart enough, they go into a business, or they go into a business by themselves, and they can survive and be very successful. But those opportunities are not available in countries like in South America. You have to have,
you know, we appreciate that God has given us this work as a mission. White Apple Institute, the ministry in itself, if you if any of you listeners out there visited the website and see the mission statement, we are dedicated to helping people from a global perspective to call into us and ask us about resources. And not only do we try to provide them, as we have money that comes in from membership and donations, but we also try to help them to find the resources in their own country or build them themselves. And we've had some success in China. One of the teachers called and said that she had a large amount of students with autism, and she didn't know what to do, and there weren't any resources in her particular village area. And so what happened is we landed up sending her materials to help her a little bit with that, and also putting her in touch with some people in Beijing, in the main city there, to help her with some with. We hope that you continue to support the work of White Apple Institute, or you out there that may be listening and say, well, listen, I need some help too, because I'm trying to teach these students and I need materials, I need books, I need things in my classroom. Please let us know that and we'll try to connect you. So we thank you so much, Consuelo, for bringing that to our attention, Professor, because And we can only respect you if we respect ourselves. And it moves us into the next discussion that is an extension of self-respect, which is our attitude. And this expression that we have, that attitude, everything. And that's what you brought out. The way we feel, the way we project ourselves, is our attitude. The way we believe, what we value in life, is part of our attitude. And so attitude, in that sense, everything, your attitude about gratitude, as Penny Hines brought out, you know, how do you feel about gratitude? What's your attitude about it, okay? You mentioned something, Penny, gratitude, you said there was this phrase you used earlier. Attitude of gratitude, that was it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. An attitude of gratitude, and that's what I'm trying to get to here, is that, you know, are our listeners, are you really using gratitude to help your attitude? And if you're grateful and thankful for what you have, it changes your attitude and makes you look at things differently. It makes you consider the choice you have to smile in the morning, or go about your day grumpy, or staying in bed. But you can do either. You can roll up your sleeves and get out there and do something to become a lifelong learner. You don't necessarily have to go to an institutional setting, an academic setting, to do that. You can go to the library. You can pick up a book. You can go to a church. You can just reach out to a neighbor and see if they need help with someone who reads, and maybe you read. You're bound to a bed, you can even do that. If you need a computer to help others, it's a lot of things that you can do in whatever part of the world that you're in, especially the United States. Agree?
Yes. May I add something here?
Yes.
I have always tried to be very independent and self-sufficient. But there have been times in my life when I've been overwhelmed, either through illness or loss of a job, whatever it might be. And I know, you know, I try to keep a positive attitude, but sometimes I get down. But I think a way to get beyond that is to look outside yourself to others and to help others, because it brings you back to the fact that you're not alone. Mm. And that even when you're having difficulties in your own life, there is always someone else that you can help. And by helping other people, we actually help ourselves. We bring back our sense of worth, and we bring back our sense of gratitude by mm-hmm. helping other people.
That's a very good point. Thank you so much for bringing that out. I hope that touched someone's heart. If it only touched one person in all of our 12,000 listeners out there plus, if that just touched one person, it was worth it to do this show this morning. Because that's I'm tearing up just thinking about someone out there that touched and that says, maybe I do need to go back and help that kid that I saw down the street there and that's struggling to read. Maybe I do need to volunteer my time for a group. I know I can't work right now, a job where I get paid a paycheck every week, but maybe the paycheck that I need is a spiritual paycheck. And that's a better paycheck than any paycheck they could think of. Well, I know you know that before you get to the basic stuff, you better get that spiritual paycheck first. And then you can focus on where am I going to get the food and the shelter. Right?
Well, we've all heard the euphemism of you give a man a fish, he eats for a day, and you teach a man to fish, and he eats for a lifetime. It's no different than when we move outside ourselves to embrace those around us, whether it be a cause or just, you know, helping a neighbor, comforting someone who has had a loss, reading to someone who is homebound. There are
or blind,
so many little things that they're
mm-hmm.
helping us. Right now I'm a caregiver for my mother who has dementia. It is difficult for me to even get outside the house for little simple things like taking out the trash or picking up the mail. I have a sweet little neighbor who comes by almost every day to get the mail for me. It's a
mm-hmm.
little thing, but it is a tremendous gift that she gives me, because it is something that she can do. It's quite simple, and she believes it to be quite small, but it isn't small to me. It shows that she cares. She truly loves us because she is demonstrating that love. And it's one more thing I don't have to add to my list of things to do that day. So,
and is
she
a person that is dealing with some disability issues, pain, suffering, or anything like that, and she still makes that effort?
She is a tiny little woman whose health is not the best. She is actually the same age as my mother, but still
mm-hmm.
able to get around. And even though she toddles sometimes slowly and she has to overcome pain to do the little things in her own life, she remembers others. And it is such a gift.
Yes.
And we need to learn also to be gracious receivers. This was something that I had to learn. I had come down with pneumonia and been off work for almost a month. And it happened during the month of December. And I was unable to, even buy Christmas gifts for my children, and I felt so terrible. But
mm-hmm.
I was grateful that I was soon going to be able to go back to work. But I mentioned to a neighbor that I was glad that I was going to be able to go back to work, but I didn't know how I was going to put gas in my car until I got my next paycheck. And as she was getting ready to leave my home, she pressed a $20 bill into my hand, and you would have thought that she had pressed a hot coal into it the way I reacted. I jerked my hand back, and I was appalled that she was offering me $20.
Right.
She really was very stern with me. She said, do you believe that when we give to others without any thought for ourselves, that God blesses us? And I said, of course I believe that. And she said, then why are you denying me my blessings?
Oh,
remember,
wow.
Remember, I was thoroughly chastised. Remember that when we give to others without any thought of what we get in return, we are reaping blessings. Sometimes
please
we don't
remember
even
that.
Realize.
And I'm going to remember that. Thank you so much, because I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to really impress upon people to accept the gifts. And one of the gifts that we're giving right now, by taking our precious time on Saturday morning to make this broadcast so that people can hear and that maybe that we can say something that, that enlightens them. I mean, this is a special thing for anyone to get on the air with us and speak their mind about things like this. So we really appreciate all the euphemisms that you have shared and that Professor Consuelo Acete has shared, because this, and I'm sorry, we had another caller, I think it was Tom and some other people who tried to get in. We appreciate the attempt that you made to go live on air to discuss this thing. And what a gift. What a gift you are giving. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to say this to all of our listeners out there. Those of you that have a physical disability that you can see, okay, and those that have the non-visible disabilities that people don't see, those are the worst because nobody sees what's going on with you inside. You may have cancer, diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, any of those things, or you may know someone who has those things, and they look, from the outside, they look great, but you never know what goes on at home when they're trying to get ready to come out into the world, when they're trying to get dressed, you know, when they're trying to avoid toileting issues. You know, these are basic things, and I know some of you may say, well, what toileting issues? Well, we're going to have a few guests on in the future that are going to tell you a little bit about how they maintain professional jobs out there, and they have a lot of challenges every day with basic things we take for granted. And so we're grateful whenever you share, and thank you for sharing that story with us, because there's somebody out there listening that maybe even in a wheelchair, or maybe they think that life has thrown a lot of disadvantages their way because maybe they were molested as a child, okay, or maybe they grew up in a very poor and disadvantaged area. But that doesn't mean that you have to believe that you have nothing to contribute. You just heard stories about how people can, with just a little bit of energy, make someone else very, very happy by just a very simple thing. You know, I have a young man who comes by and he's in a wheelchair, and he has a very, very debilitating disease that it makes his legs shake. He's losing muscle control, so he cannot walk. And he puts out my trash for me. He takes time and effort to come and get my barrels of trash, and he takes some time to do it. But how good it makes me feel that he puts that effort out there to do that. And how good it's going to feel for you, any of you out there listening today. Look around your community. If you don't think that you're a valuable part of your community, step outside for a minute. Make a few phone calls. Look around at what you're doing and see if you can change your attitude. See if you can find a way to respect yourself and respect the divinity, whatever name you call God by, but respecting the divine within you to go out and reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Wasn't that a great song?
I like that.
Anybody remember that song? Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this a better world if you can. Anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
But I'm telling my age.
I guess I am too. Well, you know, I have a grandson that's 17, and sometimes it amazes me that he knows some of the songs that I sing. You know, and I have a few young people that actually, some of my students that really know who Elvis Presley was. Okay? So you never know what sticks and what doesn't stick. And, you know, may I say this, just moving to another level here, that I want to express that no one is perfect. We're going to make some errors, mistakes, sometimes even in the people we choose to help. Okay? Sometimes they may not appreciate what we do. Please try your best to overlook that. Don't do it for their appreciation. Do it because it builds your self-respect. It changes your attitude about your life. Because if you expect something, you may be disappointed. So try your best to do what you can to change that attitude to an attitude of gratitude, as you pointed out, which one of our regular listeners and supporters, Jewel Diamond Taylor, I believe it's in one of her books, taken, that particular title, An Attitude of Gratitude, to have. And she also uses an expression, and I just have to share it, should, the word should. You know, we're always saying, I should have done that, and I should have done this. You know, I should have done that for myself. And, you know, she says, stop shooting on yourself, okay? Stop shooting on yourself and pull up your sleeves and move on to the next project. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
So we all need to stop shooting on ourselves. Okay, audience out there? And I really did say shooting. Okay, that the word should, I you know, that expectancy that we should be doing something with our lives. You do what you can. You do what you're able to do. Just do something. Just do something, whether you're bed-bound, wheelchair-bound. If you don't have the energy to go to your local community college and take a class, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about that. You're not perfect. Maybe it's not the time to take that class yet. But maybe you can do something else to still be a student and a teacher. And let that teacher appear within you. Close your eyes and allow God to speak with you about what you could do to help somebody. Maybe you'll help somebody else go to school. I've had examples of that where a student dropped out of a course, but she was able to help somebody else get to school. She shared her book with them. She gave them her book for the class because she couldn't take that particular class. So, you see, there's all kinds of ways that we can reach out and touch someone. But first, we must reach out, or reach in, I should say, and touch ourselves. Get that? Reach in and touch ourselves. Touch the divine being that we are and how much we are part and special. We are special because we are made in the image of the Creator. Not the physical image, but the image, the spiritual image of the Creator, because somewhere inside, even the most horrific person that you can think of, the person that's done the most terrible acts of abuse and violence in their life, somehow that person can still reach in and find a spark of love, find a spark of self-respect and make a change happen in their life. I've met them, and I know that it's true, that when the teacher, when the student is ready, and I mean, you really have to be ready. You've got to have all that stuff we're talking about, the gratitude for God, the respect for God, the respect for yourself, then moving on to your socialization with others, reaching out. Before you can get there, you've already touched that internal teacher, and you're allowing that internal teacher to help you to reach out and touch someone. And when you do it, can you agree with me on something, Penny and Professor Sete, that when you do it, there's this magical feeling that comes over you when you reach out and touch somebody and somebody, that gift that that woman gave you, that $20 for gas when you need it, don't you think that there's a spark that sent her somewhere that made her feel so good?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what one thing that I don't, that there was a lesson that I personally had to learn is that when you learn respect, when you gain respect for yourself and offer it to others, it you are able to take back a little bit of the power. That I mean, at some point in our life, we all feel powerless. We feel that things are happening to us and around us that we have no control over. But the one thing that we do have control over is how is our attitude, how we react to it. And when we take control of our attitude, we gain back some of the power that we feel that we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an awesome thing because I love the inaugural speech that Nelson Mandela gave, and he said that we do no good to the world when we diminish the power that we have inside ourselves by not accepting it, but not acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
He said that we are creatures of the divine, and that by playing small, we damage our self-esteem, we damage the world in return because we are not acknowledging the gifts and the power that we have within us.
That is so true. Allow
that.
Our light, whatever,
exactly.
However small our light is, however small it is, it's still light. And it can light the way not only for yourself, but for others to see. You're absolutely right on that. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. That light, that little tiny light, and when we
one
let it shine,
light another. One candle can light another.
That's right. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's how we're going to close the show today. This little
let it shine.
Yes, and let it shine, and let it shine, and let it shine. Okay, and you're right. I think that song, I never thought of that before, but I think that it's a progressive song because when you let your light shine inside of you, and like you said, you light another person's candle, then your light becomes greater. So you let it shine, and then you let it shine again, and it continues to shine and get brighter and brighter for you.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And we didn't have, we had one chat person that just said thank you for the show, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you calling in to the show. We have 6 minutes remaining on the show, and I just wanted to close. We have another caller that just joined us again. And I think this caller was having some challenge earlier on the line, but we welcome her back. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Thank you for calling back in.
This is Maria again.
Yes. I hope you've been able to listen a little bit to the show. We're just closing. We're talking about how, just a moment ago, how someone who couldn't take a class at the community college because of some personal things that were going on with them, and they were able to help another person that was trying to go to school, and they gave them their book to help them, and that was a way of reaching out and touching someone and making yourself feel better because you helped another human being. And so your light inside, the God light that you have, shined a little bit more, Maria, because you were able to talk to someone about the challenges that you're having or I'm having or any one of us are having, and that we still get through them. And even those of us who make the attempt to go out and go to school or to try to go to work, to try to live on our own, to get our own apartments, you know, and sometimes it doesn't work the way we want it to work. Don't give up. Don't give up. There is something else that you need to do. So you need to go deep inside yourself, student of life, and you need to ask the God within you to allow the teacher to appear, to show you where you can shine your light so that you can continue to grow. And that might be right in your community, your apartment building, your neighborhood, but that you can reach out to another human being and say, do you want to go to school? I heard you say that you wanted to go to church. Would you like to go to my church? Would you like to read together? I have some interesting information to share with you about this. And that's, what were you saying? The attitude of gratitude, Denny. You will accomplish that. Any comment? Maria, you can make a comment on that if you wish. Any of our other speakers, I hope that you gain something from that.
Yes, Consuelo has something very important to say.
Please.
I would like to let Maria know that I will be getting in touch with her soon to speak about, you know, some of her goals in education that, you know, I might be able to have some suggestions for. Okay, Maria?
Oh.
And this is Professor Consuelo Estepe.
Okay.
Hi, Maria. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You're very
welcome.
Thank
you. And I know Maria, you too. We lost her call again, but I will make sure that I relay that information to her as she listens. You know, our show is available, which is wonderful with the internet radio, is that you can always go back and listen to the show again. If you missed part of the show or if you didn't get the show this morning, you can always go back and just click on and on the show that you want to listen to or you want to share with a person you think will gain something from it. That's another way of reaching out, just telling somebody, hey, come on over, I want you to listen to this. It's a friend of mine or somebody that I like, Professor Applewhite and her friends, her staff. Come on over and listen to this on my computer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And,
good idea.
Yeah, and maybe from that, that light will start shining inside of them and they'll say, wow, yeah, that's good stuff. Maybe I need to start helping other people. And, you know, I have a desire to go to school and learn ceramics because I'd like to sell little ceramic pieces. I think that's wonderful. To me, that's just as exciting as someone saying, I want to go to school, back to school to be a lawyer.
Right.
And a lot of teachers out there are saying, that is not the same. I know it. But that's okay. I'm talking to the teachers that do believe that, the academic teachers, that know that everyone in your classroom cannot be a doctor or lawyer, that people that pick up our trash on the street in waste management have great titles and great business, and they make more money than teachers in New York. The people who pick up the garbage on the street that people think are not important, and those people, you talk to them, they have a beautiful perspective on life. Like Penny was saying, that ability to make the choice, to smile. I've seen them. I've talked to them. I've talked to the male person. And you will learn something important about yourself. We thank you so much. With 57 seconds left, we wish you much love and peace for this week. We hope you join us next Saturday from 10 to 11 on Arizona time. Listen to our show. Share it with others. Much love and peace. Again, this is Professor Applewhite signing out, and we appreciate our guests this morning that called in and the appreciation from others in the chat room. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this music that you shared.
Thank you.